Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. As the presses roll, we join Hal Burdick in the Night Editor's office for another of his dramatic short stories. Tonight, the exciting human interest yarn of the fall day George Alden was tempted into a great adventure. Hal's story titled, Autumn Fever.
As his jackknife sliced through the branch of a tree, he was suddenly aware of two things. Down the road, a park policeman was shouting at him, and directly in front of him was a sign, fine and imprisonment for breaking, cutting, or otherwise destroying any plants, flowers, shrubbery, or... Oh, holy smoke, now he was in for it. Right at the start of his day of fun, jail was staring him in the face.
Friends, as you know, we promise that when you try Edwards Coffee, you'll discover an extra flavor lift. Now, promises are fine, but I think you'll want to know why we say that Edwards Coffee is blended and roasted in small batches, the careful, custom way, according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. Yes, the choice coffees that make up the exclusive Edwards flavor are specially blended and roasted in the special Edwards way, learned over a period of two generations. Try a pound. Discover how rich and full-flavored Edwards coffee really is. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, there are times when the newsroom pressure gets so great that there isn't time to go out for that mid-evening cup of coffee. But the food editor's kitchen down the corridor still offers a quick oasis. And that's where we find Hal and Bobby tonight. And sitting across the little work table from Hal, Bobby is saying...
Is there such a thing as autumn fever, Hal?
Huh? Autumn fever?
Yeah. People say they have spring fever. Why not autumn fever?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well...
Oh, boy, you know, days like today do something to me, Hal. There's a sort of tingle in the air and the smell of leaves burning. Oh, I don't know. You feel like you want to be going places and doing things.
Autumn fever, huh? Yeah, I guess that's what George Alden had a few years ago.
George Alden? Who might he turn out to be?
A swell person, Bobby. Yeah, man along in his middle 60s now. Born, raised, lived all his life up in the hills of Oregon. Knows the woods as only a man who loves and understands them can know them.
What's that got to do with autumn fever?
Now, you pour me another cup of that good Edwards coffee, and I'll tell you the amazing story of the day he had a touch of it.
There you are, boss. So, then?
Just all of a sudden, and without warning, autumn had left the shaded valleys and wooded uplands of the distant countryside and stolen down into the concrete barrens of the city. Awakening in the spare bedroom of his son's apartment, George Alden was immediately aware of it. He eased his lean, muscular frame out of bed and crossed to the open window, breathing deeply. Why, sure enough, that was no worn-out, tired city smell that came to him. That was a country fragrance, distilled of sun-ripened earth, the musky perfume of apples fattened for the cider mill, of brown stubble in the fields where quail whistled, and carpeted forest valleys where the deer fed in the moonlight. Autumn had come to the city. These past 8 weeks cooped up in town had been hard on a man used to the freedom of this country. Three of them in a hospital, another three convalescing from his operation, the past two just resting to get his strength back. Not that his son and daughter-in-law hadn't been goodness itself to him. Almost too watchful of him now that his strength was coming back. Hardly let him out of their sight for wanting to make him comfortable. But this morning, autumn had come to town, and he knew he had to do something about it. He dressed swiftly, grinning with boyish delight as he snapped on the fancy elastic sleeve bands his daughter-in-law had gotten him, because his shirts didn't seem to hang right when the sickness thinned him down. That much of a concession he would make. But for the rest, this day belonged to him. He excused himself from accompanying the girl on her morning shopping tour, and when she was out of the house, struck out by himself, and in time came to the big park. It wasn't like the hills, but at least he could feel dirt under his feet and the brush of leafy branches across his body. And autumn would walk with him, not be something that blew in and out of a fourth-story apartment window. He followed the main park driveway until he came to a section that had never been improved, just allowed to grow wild. From a maple tree, a butcher bird spoke a raspy greeting, and he looked up at it, smiling.
Sassy as a depot lunch counter girl talking to a drummer, aren't you? If I had my little 22, I'd dust your pesky feathers for you, you robber.
His smile widened, and he took a jackknife from his pocket. Its keen blade bit through the branch of a shrub.
Nothing like whittling to keep a man's hands busy while loafing in the woods. And, besides all that,
He was suddenly aware of two things. Some distance down the parkway, a man in uniform was shouting at him. And second, right smack dab in front of him, was a sign. Fine and imprisonment for breaking, cutting, or otherwise destroying any flowers, plants, shrubbery, or... Oh, holy smoke, now he was in for it. The park officer was hurrying toward him. Right at the start of his day of fun, he was going to find himself hustled off to jail. The smile tightened on his lips. No, sir, by gum, he wasn't going to give up that easy. If all the years he'd spent in the woods didn't make him smarter than a city policeman, he'd like to know it. He moved swiftly off the road and into the thick cover of the woods, leaving the path after a few steps and threading his way with easy, swinging strides through the brush, doubling back toward the road for a little way, then bending his lithe body to the easy rise of a slope that led toward a deeper tangle of undergrowth. Well up the hillside, he stopped to listen, but no sound of searching footsteps came to him, only a stillness that might have been that of his beloved hill country. And chuckling softly, he sat down with his back against a tree and took out his jackknife again. He and Autumn were free to enjoy each other's company. As he sat there, whittling on the forbidden branch, completely at peace with the world, George Alden didn't know it, but he had company in his little forest hideaway, or that very soon he was to be smack dab in the middle of an exciting drama. From where he sat, he couldn't even see the abandoned old shack that once had been a powder storehouse for the park road builders, hidden in the brush of another slope across the little draw below him, or the man who was approaching it cautiously. Near the shack, this man stopped, gave a low whistle. It was answered by someone in the shack. Then he was moving toward a figure that appeared in the doorway.
Yeah, it's about time you were showing up.
No, don't get sore, Moose. I can explain.
Yeah, suppose you think I didn't mind going without anything to eat last night.
Here, I brought you some sandwiches and stuff. You work out on that and let me do the talking. Moose, we gotta find another hideout for you, but fast.
Huh?
You mean the cops are caught on? It's worse than that. Monk Duffy and his mob are wise. Monk! The face of the man in the doorway paled. You ain't kidding, Chuck. Would I kid about a thing like that? I was on my way here with grub for you last night. They trailed me. I gave them the slip, but I didn't dare come on in for fear they might pick me up again.
If that's the case, I'm getting out of here right now.
In daylight? Don't be crazy. Your mug is hot with every cop in town. And I'll take my chances with the cops before I will Monk. The most I get from them is a stretch. But with Monk, it's curtains. He thinks I double-crossed him. He'll croak me without asking questions. For all we know, he may have told you here this morning. Right now, he might... His voice broke to a sharp silence. His fear-rounded eyes raised to the other man's face. Chuck! What was that?
Yeah, I heard it too. Sounding like... Well,
again it came to them. Overhead, an angry buzzing that clipped through the leaves of the branches and ended with a thud of something against a tree trunk.
Don't try to tell me that was a bullet.
Yeah, it sure sounded like it.
Get inside, Moose, and let them trap us, not me. It's Monk, I tell you, and the next one of them bullets ain't gonna miss.
But it couldn't be Monk. We would have heard the gun.
Would he be sap enough to shoot so every cop within 40 miles could hear him? He's got a silencer. I've seen it lots of times. He always used it. Oh, Chuck, for the love of Pete, let's get going before... Again it came, closer this time, just over their heads. The thin, angry whine followed by a shower of leaves sifting down around them. Stooping low to screen themselves from their unseen enemy, they were dodging swiftly through the trees, while behind them something slatted against the roof of the shack, ripping a long splinter from the wood. Down the trail, running blindly in their frantic desire to get away from those buzzing messengers of death that seemed to grow out of the very silence of the woods around them. Only a little further, then the road and Chuck's car. They pushed their speed to the last fear-maddened sprint. And then they were stumbling to a halt as the path in front of them was blocked by the stocky figure of a man in a police uniform. For a moment, he stared at them, surprised by their sudden appearance. Instinctively, Moose raised one hand toward the bulge under his coat, but it dropped to his side again as the officer's gun jumped from the holster and lay level in his hand.
Well, what do you know? Am I seeing things? Or is it really Moose Kramer and Chuck Dengie?
He moved toward them, grinning widely.
Well, imagine you two boys being out for a stroll in the park. And won't the precinct captain be pleased? Allow me to show you the way, gents. You first.
In the precinct station, the captain looked from the snarling pair to the park officer.
Well, now, this is the best haul in the month of Sundays, Fred. How'd you ever happen to round them up?
Well, they just ran right into my arms, Captain. Yeah, I was scouting around that wooded section in the lower end of the park looking for some old geezer who was cutting shrubbery. Well, all of a sudden, who comes tearing down the path but this pair? So I gathered them in. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the old guy can come to the park every day and cut down trees if it'll lead me to a catch like this.
Back on the hillside, George Alden eased his lean figure up from the ground.
Yep, time to be heading home, he guessed.
Daughter-in-law might be getting worried. Ought to be safe to leave. That policeman must have given up looking for him by now.
He sighed contentedly. Hadn't been so happy since he left the hill country. Not quite as much fun as sitting by that big stump on the trail above Ranch River with his Winchester across his knees, waiting for a buck to come climbing up out of the valley. But it had been peaceful and quiet. The only sound he'd heard was a noise like someone running through the brush on the other slope. Yes, sir. If Autumn would only hang around a little while, maybe he'd come back again, bring lunch with him, and stay all day. From a tree down the slope, the butcher bird called raucously. He squinted his eyes to make it out. Yeah. Go on and laugh, you old bandit. Before I'm through with you, you'll be singing a different tune. His eyes shifted to the object in his hand, to the clean knife marks on the stick he'd cut down by the highway, to the fancy red sleeve holders and the square of cloth cut from his handkerchief that dangled from the wood. Yes, sir. He raised his head to address the bird again. Next time, I won't be shooting all around you and missing you. I'll have me a couple lengths of rubber cut from that old inner tube in my son's garage and a chunk of leather for the pocket and buckshot instead of odds and ends of stones that don't carry true. And then I'll show you. Show you what shooting with a slingshot really is. Why, say, I bet I could stand off a couple of thugs with pistols. And if I had to.
Friends, when it comes to discovering the real thing in coffee, let me suggest this. Try a pound of Edwards coffee. That's the real thing for coffee enjoyment. Because Edwards gives you an extra flavor lift, a richness you'll instantly detect and always enjoy. You see, Edwards' exclusive flavor doesn't just happen. It's the result of Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula of years spent in the fine art of coffee making. And just to show you, Edwards coffee contains only the choicest Central and South American coffee beans, carefully pre-selected for size, shape, and color, then skillfully blended in small batches under Mr. Dwight Edwards' personal supervision. And not by weight, but by flavor. That's not all. Edwards coffee is roasted by the thermal process only to bring out the full, natural coffee flavor, then immediately ground and vacuum-packed to bring that flavor to you in all its richness. Try Edwards coffee for an extra flavor lift. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. And now Hal has something very special to tell us about next week's Night Editor story.
A couple of years ago, I told a story titled For Later Delivery, which was a letter written by a father to his son. The son he never quite got around to showing the real depths of his love. For a long time, many Night Editor friends have been asking me to repeat it. So next week, I'm going to tell it again. And I hope all of you will join us for that retelling of For Later Delivery. Good night.
Be sure to listen next week at this same time to this really great human interest yarn as Hal Burdick tells it from the Night Editor's office. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.